And this summer series is called Stress-Free Living. This is a relevant series, a relevant message, because I know we all deal with it. Stress-free living. We all know that stress is the number one killer in America. It is. We know that stress invites sickness, disease, cancer, and all kinds of things in our body. You know your stress if you say the same sentence over and over again, not realizing that you said it before. You know your stress if the sun is too loud. Have you ever noticed that in Oregon? It'll be 3 months of cloud and the sun will come out. And you know your kids are Oregonians when they're like, in the car. They're like, what is that? That is the sun, Stephanie. Welcome. You know your stress if you begin to explore the possibility of setting up an IV drip solution of espresso. It's like, all right, give me the Starbucks IV today, or give me the Dutch Brothers IV. You know your stress if you wonder if brewing is really a necessary step in the consumption of coffee. You know your stress if you ask the drive-through attendant if you can get your order to go. You know you're stressed if you keep yelling, "Stop touching me," even though you're the only one in the room. You know you're stressed if you say the same sentence over and over again, not realizing that you've said it before. You know you're stressed if you can skip without a rope, or you can travel without moving, or antacid tablets become your sole source of nutrition. I used to have a friend, he just ate those by the bottle. You know you're stressed if you stuffed animals begin to bully you for milk and cookies in your home, okay? Or you have an irresistible urge to bite the noses of the people that you're talking to. You're stressed. You know you're stressed if you say the same sentence over and over again, not realizing that you said it before. You know you're stressed if you say the same sentence over and over again, not realizing that you've said it before. Did I say that? Okay. Just want to make sure. You know you're stressed if you can't count. Sorry, Denise. Oh. You guys, are you guys having fun today? I'm having fun. This is summertime, you know? I mean, John is in shorts. So what else do we need, you know? All right. Just put your sunglasses on before you look at them and you'll be fine. You know you're stressed if the sun is too loud. All right. The pressures, time and money, money management, marriage, kids, school, your job, the expectation of others, it just causes a lot of stress. And when I look at problems in life, you then go to the Bible because you know that there's answers there. For everything that we go through, there's answers. And I'm thinking, if I was Jesus in the time that he lived on the earth, it was probably the most stressful life ever lived. There's no way I could have handled what he went through. It's kind of like thinking about being the president of the United States. You know, even though you may not agree with him, you can tell every president, especially if they've done two terms, as they stand up there before the press and the hair is graying, the face is wrinkled, they look 20 years older. And you know the stress has gotten to them. That's why we need to pray for them. There's no way. I can't even imagine, you know, waking up having the weight of the country on your shoulders and the decisions that you have to make. Stress. But what about the life of Christ? And why was Jesus able to handle pressure? Jesus was a man, he was constantly under pressure. There were demands on his time. He rarely had any time of privacy until he purposed to break away to get alone. He was constantly interrupted. People misunderstood him. They criticized him. They ridiculed him. He had an enormous stress that would have caused any of us to cave in. But as you look at the life of Christ, you discover very quickly that he remained what I would call peace under pressure. Peace under pressure. He was never in a hurry. He seemed to always be at ease, unless he had, you know, a wave of righteous indignation come over him, like the temple. But he always had a calmness about his life, and even though he was handling enormous amounts of stress. So, of course, this is church, and we go to Jesus. Let's go to the Gospels, and let's see, as we begin this series, how Jesus handled stress and learned from him. The same Spirit that lived in Christ lives in us. The same ability that Jesus had, we have, because he relied upon the same Holy Spirit and the same God. Amen. And the same power, the same wisdom is available to us. We've got the Word of God. And so, if you turn to John chapter 8 and verse 12, as we begin this series, let's look at these scriptures. Stress-free living. I don't think we really take stock in the value of getting away sometimes. I know summertime is vacation time, and rightly so, it needs to be. You need to go away. You need to get out of your atmosphere or your realm. And for some of you, if that's just driving down to the river and hanging out at the river or whatever, just go somewhere different. You know, I was actually really excited to go to Maupin because when we drive over the mountain, you normally take Highway 26 and we go straight to Bend or Redmond area. But before you get down towards Kaneda, you actually take a left to go to Maupin and head out east. And I was actually really excited because I've never, ever driven that road. So I'm like a little child. I get excited about the littlest things, you know. And I'm like, all right, a new road. And I'm thinking, a new adventure. Yeah. I'm an adventurous person. And so it was awesome. I loved it. I can see when the trees begin to turn. You know, they turn from the fir trees to the ponderosa pine, you know. And then little by little, the trees kind of thin out. And then you move into the high desert, and it's basically hay and farmland. And ranches, and it's just beautiful, really. I'm sure if you live there, you don't think so, but you think, within an hour's time, I'm in a completely different place that, to me, does not look like Oregon. It's like, wow. And then you can tell the sun, the clouds were over here, but there was no clouds over there. You can pretty much be guaranteed that, you know? It's like, sun is there. You know, everybody, the guys that came with us are like, well, it's cloudy. Do we want to go? I says, don't worry about that. We're going over east, you know, 300 days sunshine a year. And then you come into Maupin and you think to yourself, why would anybody want to live here? You know, well, it's kind of cute, you know. And then all of a sudden, there's this amazing river in the middle of all this brown hills where this activity is going to take place. And it was just a blast. And, you know, once you reach a certain age, I know my mom went through this. You start to think to yourself, I don't want to miss anything. And so they pulled the boats over. You may have saw the video on Facebook. And they asked who wanted to go swimming. And I was like, okay, well, what's that entail? You know, well, we're going to take you up river and you jump in and you go down these rapids. And then once you hit that tree, you swim left. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going. And there's like 75 people there in the boats. And me and these two girls are going to go, you know, thinking that's just us three. I says, well, I don't know what to do, even though I want to go. So they walk us up the river, and there's this little cliff. You know, you jump in, it's really deep, and you just put your feet in front of you, and you go. And so I wasn't going first. I said to the young girls, you go first. I'm a little scared, you know. So I'm thinking to myself, if a 15-year-old can do it, I can do it, right? So they jump in and they go, and I'm like, well, what the heck? I'm doing it. I'm here, you know. It's one of those things when you do it once, you want to do it again. So I did it again. And because it's you guys know, it's like YOLO, right? It's like you only live once, right? What is wrong with that term? I like that term, you know? You only live once, right? People use it for dumb stuff, but I'm using it for God stuff this morning, all right? You know, if I think to myself, I may not ever be in this place ever again, and I've done it too many times where I didn't do it, and I regret not doing it. Have you guys ever been there? And you think to yourself, I should have, why didn't I? You know, the guides were actually, you know, I'm a gray-haired guy. The guys were actually, oh, you want to go? Okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm going. Hallelujah. Of course, I let the girls go first and figure out what to do, and then I followed them. But then I went down to Don was with us. I said, hey, Don, you need to come. Let's go. We're going. He's like, I don't know. If you watch the video at the end, you'll hear him say, Trombi, you're going to kill me someday. He did. Yeah, we both went again. But it's just, you know, just a fun thing to do, you know. It's these kind of days that refresh you. They're stress relief days. The sun, the water, the adventure. You know, for some of you, it's just hanging out on the beach or hanging out by the river or taking a hike or whatever it is. You have to have these times to de-stress. And you have to have the times to get out of your daily routine. Routine is great, believe me, but you have to have times to break free or you'll never make it in life. You can't do it. John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am. He defined himself. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am actually 18 times. I am the light. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. 18 times he said, I am. I am the one who testifies for myself, he said in verse John 8:18. The first principle in order to handle stress in your life is you have to know who you are. You've got to know who you are. This is what we call the principle of identification, if you want to write that down. You got to know who you are. The principle of identification. Jesus said, I know who I am. I testify of myself. Now, this is so important when it comes to stress relief. Because if you don't know who you are, somebody else will try to tell you who they think you are. Amen? If you don't know who you are, you will allow other people to manipulate you into being somebody that you're not. And a lot of stress comes in life from the fact that we wear a mask and we are not honest with ourselves and with others. We have this fear that we lived with that we're going to be found out because we live double lives. And we try to be somebody that we're not. And insecurity always produces pressure in life. When we're insecure, we feel pressured to perform. And therefore, we set unrealistic goals or standards for our life. And then we get into this mode, work, 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 do, 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 perform, perform, perform. And then because we don't meet these unrealistic standards or these unrealistic goals, we get under tension and pressure. I see this all the time when people come to me for advice or counseling. The first way to balance stress in our lives is to have an eternal balance of who you are. Who are you? You know who you are by knowing whose you are. I am a born-again Christian. I am a child of God. I was put on this earth, not by accident. I have a purpose. I am deeply loved by God. I am accepted by Him. He has a plan for my life. Because He put me here, He created me in His image, in His likeness. Therefore, I am significant. When you've got that foundation, you've got that solidified, and you know that, you were put here for a purpose, not just to live out your days and then disappear and never exist again, but you were put here for an eternal reason, for eternal purpose. And many of us, over the years, if not all of us, we have affected people's lives. We have prayed for people. We have led people to Christ. We have helped in our communities. We have helped our family members. God has put us here for a reason and for a purpose. And there's nothing that will excite you more as a Christian is the principle of you giving. There's nothing that will excite your Christianity more than being used by God. If Christianity is dull and stale, and you haven't been used by God to lead someone to Christ or to witness to someone or to give to someone lately, pray that God gives you an opportunity to speak into someone's life. It will fire you up. It'll make you appreciate who you are and why you exist. God wants to use you. This is the reason all of us were placed on this earth, to make a difference. That's the significance that He placed us here for, to impact people's lives, to love people, loving God and loving people. We have a purpose. John chapter 5 and verse 30, as we continue to look at Jesus' life. Jesus knew who He was. He grew up in a carpenter's family, but He knew that sanding wood, making furniture, wasn't His ultimate destiny. It was a path towards a greater existence. And so you may have a job where you work, you build things, you fix things, you clean things, you manage things, although it provides income and you may be satisfied, or maybe you're not satisfied, maybe you're frustrated with that. You need to know that that's not the only reason that God placed you here. He placed you to affect people's lives, those that work with you and around you. Hallelujah. So when we go to work with a greater perspective and do every day with a greater focus and a greater vision of why God placed us here, and we pray, God, use me today, if it's just to pray for someone, if it's just to have lunch with someone, to encourage someone, or to share Christ with someone, God, then let that be this day today. Use me, Lord. It'll fire you up more than you ever know. John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. Now that's huge. Because stress comes when we think we have to do everything by ourselves. Jesus knew different. He said, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. John 5:30. The second principle in stress-free living in this series is this: know who you're trying to please. Know who you're trying to please. Principle number one is know who you are, which is identification. Principle number two, know who you're trying to please, is dedication. Everybody say dedication. When we've all arrived at a certain point, and it's difficult when you're younger to understand this, but as you get older, you'll definitely understand this. The earlier you learn this, the more stress-free life you'll have, is you cannot please everybody. If you try you are going to freak out. You'll end up in a hospital. You can't please everybody. Just about the time you have one group pleased, the other group gets mad at you, right? And just about the time you get group B pleased, group A gets mad at you again. You can't please everyone. It's the hardest thing to learn as a pastor because you want to please everybody and you want everybody to love you, and it just doesn't happen. And seemingly you don't do something, or you do something that was stupid and people judge you and leave and cause problems and talk bad against you. And I saw somebody the other day that left the church, and you know, those feelings come up of, oh, did I do the right thing? And if I didn't, God, forgive me. But you can't please everyone. And it's foolish to attempt to do so. Especially, it's foolish to attempt to do something that God couldn't do. I mean, Jesus pretty much settled it. It was a dedication issue to him. He said, number one is, I'm going to please God the Father. I'm going to please God the Father. And the Father said this to him. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When you know who you're trying to please, or when you don't know who you're trying to please, you cave into things. Okay, so three things that you'll cave into when you don't know who you're trying to please. Number one, you'll cave into criticism. Because you're wondering what everybody else is going to think about you. Okay? Or you'll cave into competition. Because you're worried whether somebody else is going to get ahead of you. They've got more than you. I've got more than you. Look at all my stuff. Look at my nice car. So, you know what I say to him? My car's paid off. My kids are the worst at this because they do not want me to pick them up at school in the minivan. It's true. Seriously. Dad, can you please bring the RAV4, please? And, you know, the newer car, even though it's not new. Can you please bring that? Or, I'm like, really? I'm like, you know what? I love the minivan. I will pick you up right in front of school when school gets out. And I'll honk the horn. Beep, beep. Hey, Stephanie, let's go. Minivan. I don't care. Hallelujah. I mean, how many years do we drive the old green RAV4, you know? I mean, I'm proud of that car. It has 269,000 miles on it, and Ben's still driving it, you know? It's like it's paid off, you know? Hallelujah. I don't need to keep up with the Jones. I don't need those fancy rims, you know? And I mean, it's nice to have something nice, and it's great to have something new. And, you know, someday I want to buy a brand new car. That would be great. I never have. And if you got the money, go for it. Hallelujah. But I'm not doing it because I'm doing it to show off, you know, just to be somebody in the city. Look what I'm driving. No, that's not the way it is. Competition, it'll capture you, and it'll push you in places you don't want to go. It'll make you do things you don't want to do, and it'll cause tons of stress in your life. The third thing when you don't know who you're trying to please is conflict. Because somebody disagrees with you, you don't know who you're trying to please, so you give in to them. I'm talking to the young people today too. Hallelujah. You cave under pressure because, one, you don't know who you are, identification, and two, you don't know who you're trying to please, dedication. A long time ago, I settled in my life that I'm going to please one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. That means if I center in on pleasing God, if I work on just this one thing, it simplifies my life. It'll always be the right thing to do. If it pleases God, it's the right thing. Regardless of what anybody else thinks, it's the right thing. It simplifies life. It reduces pressure. When it comes to stress, we love to blame stress on everybody else and everything else in the world. You ever notice that? People, stress is like the buzzword, you know? You ever see somebody, I'm so stressed, so stressed. I'm like, what are you stressed about? Well, they can't really tell you, but I'm just stressed. And they use it as an excuse. I'm so stressed. You make me stressful. Ooh, I have to do this. I must do that. I got to do that. Well, who says? Actually, you guys, there are very few things in life that you have to do. I mean, you have to breathe, right? I mean, actually, you could choose not to, I guess, right? Whenever you say, I have to, I must, I've got to, what you're actually saying is, I choose to because I don't want to pay the consequences. Now, that's a different matter. Nobody makes you do anything. It's a matter of what you want the consequences of, positive or negative. So don't blame everything and everybody for your stress. When you get under pressure, you're choosing to allow other people to put you under pressure. You are not a victim unless you allow it, unless you choose to be pressured by those incidences. Know who you are, Jesus said, I know who I am. And know who you're trying to please, Jesus said, I'm just trying to please God. That's my focus. Just trying to please God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not dedicated to the things that He has asked us to do. God's asked us to be dedicated to our families. We know it's God's will for us to bring in the bacon and provide. Amen? We know it's our responsibility to provide for our families. And that can be stressful, but when you have a greater perspective of what you're doing, that I'm not just going to make money, that I'm putting food on the table and I'm paying for my mortgage and paying for whatever else I need for my family to survive. And this is pleasing God. Because the Bible says if you don't provide for your own family, you're worse than an infidel. So God, I'm pleasing you by doing this. We know that's important. We know dedication towards the call of God upon your life, being involved in a local church and the vision that God has placed you under, that's important because you know you're pleasing God. You're not pleasing man. You're not pleasing me primarily. It pleases me secondarily, but you're pleasing God. I'm giving my offerings and my tithes. I'm trying to get this over to my kids. Well, Dad, if we give, you know, you church pays you. Not really. Why am I going to give? He says, well, you're giving, not given to me or us. You're given to God. You're pleasing God. When you obey God, we have seen it time and time again. Not just in this church, but churches all over the world. The blessings of God that come upon people and individuals and families because of their obedience. When the offering time comes to percentage give or to give offerings or to give above and beyond, like to buy a chair, we've seen God's blessings come upon our families in the way of bonuses and raises and jobs and just blessings in our family. Amen? Stability. So there are certain things we want to please God first. We want to say, God, your will be done, not my will. And lastly, as we close this first lesson, John 8:14, looking at Jesus' life, his stress-free life, Jesus basically said, I'm here to do the Father's will. And he said, I'm only saying what the Father tells me to say, I'm only doing what the Father tells me to do. And everything he did and everything he said, he obeyed God. Through prayer, through knowing the voice of his Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father communicated to him what to say and what to do. The way that he was led by the Spirit is the same way that we can be led by the Spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And so our confession should be, I'm led by the Spirit. I know what to say, I know what to do. I thank you, Lord, you're leading me and you're guiding me today into all truth. I thank you, Lord, I don't need to be stressed. I cast my cares upon you. You care for me. I am your representative on this earth. And I can have peace under pressure. Peace under pressure. There's many times where things happen and I just have to confess, I will not worry. I will not worry. I will not worry. God, I cast my cares upon you. I refuse to worry. And anxiety will build up inside me. And I say, anxiety, you must go in Jesus' name. I refuse to feel this way. I refuse to deal with this. Anxiety, go in Jesus' name. Worry, go in Jesus' name. John 8:14, Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Principle number three is this, in living a stress-free life, is know what you want to accomplish. Know what you want to accomplish. This is what we call the principle of organization. Know what you want to accomplish. Jesus said, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. He knew his ultimate end. He knew his destiny was the cross and dying on the cross. He knew his purpose. You live stress-free when you have a plan for your life. When you set priorities. If you don't set priorities, you will be guided by what other people think is important. In life, you live by priorities or you live by pressure. You live by priorities or you live by pressure. There's no other option, either priorities or pressure. Priorities or pressure. We, if we're living by pressure, we live our lives in the war of the urgent. Whatever's urgent, we jump on. Oh my gosh, I got to do this. Oh my gosh, I got to do that. Well, if we organized ourselves, if we made a to-do list, right, at the beginning of the week, does anybody make to-do lists? Anybody a to-do list person? Do you ever notice that when you don't make a shopping list, you spend twice as much? You got a certain budget, you go to the store, it's so easy with a debit card to just do whatever, right? And hope that the money is in there, and hope when you run the card, they don't say, declined. You think, that's so embarrassing. And that happens to us. My wife will call, there's no money on the card. Come on, guys, your wife's ever do that to you? What's going on? Oops, sorry, honey. You know, you go to Winco, you can't use credit card, right? You got to use debit card or cash. And so organization is so important to live stress-free lives. So really, the number one reason for failure in life is lack of organization. Organize your life, it'll be stress-free. I don't know about you, but I can't relax unless things are picked up in the house. You ever notice that? I'm not where we are not OCD. And there can be an extreme to that, but in order to relax in the evening time and chill out, I can't have shoes all over and coats and clothes and all the kids' books and bags. I'm like, you guys got rooms, put them away, okay? Right? How many get frustrated when someone uses up all the toilet paper and does not replace it when you go in there? Frustrating. And then they don't have, I'm just complaining about my kids this morning, right? And then they don't have enough gumption when it's empty to take the empty roll and stick it in the basket and not on the floor. Anybody, come on, is that freaking you out? Hello. And in my house, does anybody know what a toilet brush is? Can anybody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Stress-free living. Hallelujah. I don't want to have to clean the toilet before I poop. Anybody say amen? Amen. Yes. Take that off the tape, all right? Organization, a little bit of organization, you know? I love going out into my backyard after I mowed and weeded. It's so nice, another living room out here. But when I go out there and I see the grass creeping up and I see it needs to be weed whacked, and you just you sit out there and you think, look at all this work. This is not fun. Let's go in the house and eat. Stress-free living. Taking a little bit of organization, it'll definitely relieve your stress. So you're living by priorities or pressures. And have you ever come to the end of the day and you thought to yourself, did I accomplish anything today? I used a lot of energy and activity, but did I really do anything? And we get frustrated because busyness is not necessarily productivity. And Americans love to be busy, and they love to pretend that they're busy. You know, we all got cell phones, and you know, the guys that got the ear, what are those ear things called, you know? Yeah, the Bluetooth. The Bluetooth guys, they crack me up, you know? They're always, like, talking, you know? Yeah, okay, they're talking, and they're busy, and they're walking around, you know, and they got the Bluetooth, you know, and they're always, the phone is always ringing, and they're always doing something, and they never get anything done. Or the biggest waster of time is your cell phone, your little handheld computer thing, you know, just Facebook and this and that, and people look so intense, and it's because we have such an unsocial society, people are afraid to talk to each other. You know, you sit in the airport lounge, and everybody in the airport waiting for the plane. You know, why can't people just talk to each other? You're sitting on the bus, sitting on the Max. Everybody just got their little phones because they're in their little world. Can't talk to people. Insecure about who they are and what their purpose is. If I had to do it over again, I would have banned all video games from my house. Can you say amen? Busyness is not necessarily productivity. I plan my day. You know, if I got to go to 4 or 5 places, I'm planning my route, where I have to drive to, how I'm going to get there. I don't want to have to go there again, and I got my list. Here's what I'm doing today. And between the church, between our business and family and everything that we do, it's an everyday thing. You got to plan your day. If you want to save gas, you want to save time, and you want to do it in a good amount of time and get it done, plan your day. It's so frustrating. You ever notice? Stress comes when you don't make a list and you got to go back to the same store because you forgot to buy it. Stressful. Organization is so important. And you can be spinning in circles and not accomplishing anything. You don't accomplish anything if you don't know who you are, who you're trying to please, and what you're trying to accomplish. You have to have a goal. There's got to be an objective, not just short-term, but long-term as well. Why am I going to school? Why am I taking these classes? What is the end all? What degree do I want? Where do I want to be? You're not going to know all the details, but at least you have some kind of thought for your future. That doesn't mean we don't walk in faith. You have to walk in faith, trusting God, because he's not going to show you everything and all the details. But at least you know you have a general thought and you're believing God. When you're faithful and when you're pleasing God and when you're honoring God, he will open up doors at the end and you'll see, God, thank you for guiding me and directing me. I knew this is what I was supposed to be doing and where I was supposed to be going. Preparation causes us to be at ease. Preparation prevents pressure, but procrastination produces it. Good organization, good preparation reduces stress. Because you know who you are. Because you know who you're trying to please. And you know what you want to accomplish. Having clear goals simplifies life. It's just clear cut. So my advice to you as we end today is spend a few moments at the beginning of each day in prayer, reading the word, talking with God. After that, look at your schedule. Don't go right down and just turn on the computer and start the email thing. Get up, get your devotional book out, your Bible out, get some time to gather your thoughts, and pray, God, lead and guide me today. When you begin to do stuff like that and you give God time, it's exactly what Jesus did. He pulled away to pray. Give God time. He will help you to organize your day. When you seek him first, all other things fall into place. God helps you to save time and energy and frustration because you've allowed him to be part of your organization and the thoughts for your day. And ask yourself, is this really the way that I want to spend one day of my life? Am I willing to exchange my life or the next 24 hours for these activities? And if you're frustrated with life, begin to pray, God, I thank you for a change. You know, one of the worst places to be in life is transition. Transition in job, transition in you know, life's seasons as parents, as families. Transition can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be impossible. You can do it with grace. You can do it with peace, as long as you don't trust in your own ability. Amen? And that one part of that scripture is really the highlight in John 5:30. As we end today, Jesus said this, by myself, I can do nothing. All the Christian naysayers are, yeah, you're just dependent upon God. You are absolutely right. By myself, I recognize I can do nothing. By myself, when I don't depend upon him and seek him first, it gets all screwed up. My day doesn't start right. My life is not going right because the spirit of self-reliance is so prevalent in our society, especially in Portland. I can do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. Well, good. How's that going for you? Because it only lasts for so long. Amen? What I thank God is this. It's amazing the lessons and the wisdom we gain from the example of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To go through the stress that he went through, the criticism, the controversy, the pressure to perform, everything that he went through, and to do it with such grace, love, and patience, and to go through the seasons of his ministry that he went through is quite the example for our lives. If he can do it, we can do it. Well, you say, yeah, but he's God. Yeah, but the same spirit that dwells in Christ lives in you. Hallelujah. Same spirit. Not just some, not just a percentage. He gave you all of his spirit. Hallelujah. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, which is Gresham and Fairview and Milwaukee and Clackamas and Portland and Wood Village and Troutdale and Sandy and wherever else you're from. Hallelujah. That power, that same power is available to us. To be calm, to be peaceful. Hallelujah. And not live under the pressure, but to live in peace. Stress-free living. Tell all your friends, bring somebody next Sunday, say, hey, we got some stress-free living. Hallelujah. Let's all close our eyes and let's meditate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand up.